this morning, let's ask you a question. I would like to see, and you fill in the blank. Maybe somebody real important to you, maybe famous. I don't care what field of endeavor, whether they're a rock star, whether they're a political figure, or anything like that. If you had a chance, and they were going to come, and you would be able to go see them, who would that be? I hope you would say Jesus. I hope you'd say that. But what if I add this to it, that I'm going to be able, because I know this happened in Jesus' life, that not only you'll be able to see him, but you'll see a man who'd been healed of leprosy because Jesus is going to his house. He was healed of leprosy. I tell you who's going to be there. It's going to be Martha and Mary. And I don't know if Martha's still serving like she did before. But Mary's going to be there probably at the feet of Jesus to listen. But Martha, Mary, Simon, who've been cured of leprosy. Jesus will be there. And Judas will be there. That happened. As the book of John opens up in John the 12th chapter, it happens that indeed that's who they were. Now Matthew 26 and verse 6 will tell you it's Simon the leper's house. But John tells us that indeed it is those people that were gathered. And I would ask, would you like to show up to that? Not only just see Jesus, but might you be curious? Might there be curiosity to see Lazarus? Because Jesus had raised him from the dead. I wonder what his body looks like. Wonder what, how did he look like the same he was before? You would be curious. And that's exactly what we see in John the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 11. We observe that that's indeed taking place, that people did come. Not only to see Jesus, the common people there. That's you and me, common people. We're not the hierarchy of the Jews. The Jews learned that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. You want to see him, okay. But because of Lazarus. But the chief priests took counsel that they might put Lazarus also to death. Chapter 11, verse 57, they wanted to know, if you find Jesus at the feast, we want to know about it because we want to go take him. Yeah, they want to take him to go kill him, but they want to kill Lazarus too because we got to get rid of that man. You know why? Why were they doing that? Verse 11, because that by reason of time, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Jesus did many miracles, not written in his book, but these are written, that you might believe that he's the Son of God. That by believing, you might have life in his name. And here, Lazarus was a living testimony to the power of God. You and I can't raise people from the dead. We have no power to do that. When your plants are dead, they're dead. You've got to dig them up and put something else in there. You can't, I'm going to bring them back to life. Can't do that. But Jesus raised him from the dead. And they were curious people. They want to see Lazarus, and the chief priests got something else going on. We not only want to kill Lazarus, but we want to get Jesus too. And all we wanted to go have supper with him. You never know what's happening underneath things. Oh, it's just a nice dinner party. All the important people there, as far as I'm concerned, when we read my Bible. I like to see those people, especially Lazarus. But underneath it all, things were working. But I tell you, most of them just came to see Jesus. They walked away being believers. And Jesus, not in Lazarus, in Jesus. And that shows the power of confirming miracles that are taking place. They also want to see the king. Because in John the 12th chapter, a great multitude, we see in verse 12, on the morrow, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took the branches of the palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, God save. God save now. Redeem us. Hosanna. You can read in Matthew 21, they had the branches out, and here was Jesus. He wasn't riding on a stallion, he's riding on a donkey, and his feet probably drug the ground because he's riding upon the foal of a donkey. Get that picture. Here comes your king. And that's the way Jesus wanted it. He's fulfilling Zechariah 9 and verse 9. Come up on a donkey, because of a donkey and the foal of a donkey. He's on the foal of a donkey. Not that high up, maybe low down. Jesus is coming to the city to be king through his humility. Not like kings of this earth. Oh, I like to see Jesus. And a lot of people got to see Jesus. And they exalted him as a king because they thought, we're going to get rid of the Roman Empire upon us, you Jews. And we're going to be able to have redemption. He's going to be an earthly king, and they got it all wrong. He came to be king, all right. But he's going to set up his spiritual kingdom. And it was going to be accomplished the way Jesus wanted to accomplish it. Yes, they were there to kill him, and they were there to get Lazarus. Verse 19, we read, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, behold, how now ye prevail nothing. Lo, the world is gone after him. Because see, they saw in Lazarus a sign, and they're saying, get him. Got to get Jesus, got to get Lazarus. And that's the undercurrent that is occurring. Some want to see Jesus and Lazarus out of curiosity. He's going to be our earthly king. They got that wrong, but king. And they want to take him and kill him. There was a fourth party that would like to see Jesus. And the Bible tells us in verse 21 that they were Greeks. They were Gentiles that indeed had come to the feast because they've been converted to Judaism, at least the monotheistic idea of that there's only one God, not many gods. And they were there to worship, and they said, we would see Jesus. Andrew, can you get that to take place? Can that happen for us? Well, Philip, he calls in verse 22, Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew cometh and Philip, and they tell Jesus. And so they get a hold of Jesus. There's some Gentiles, there's some Greeks that want to see you. So I think if we were going to have a dinner party and Jesus was there, I think we liked, and you were invited, I think you would go. If Jesus were going to come this day down Fairmont Parkway, I think you'd find a way to get back here and see it, don't you? I mean, people line up here to see the fireworks. Here's when it created the sun. Here's when it created the earth. Came to in flesh. I think maybe out of curiosity, I'm going to go miss this. It's like waiting to see the president or a king. I think we would like to be able just to see him. I wonder if I could tell you this morning that I'm going to let him talk to you. You got a free pass. You have an opportunity from this count that Jesus knew that Greeks wanted to see him. And by the time we get through, a multitude is there. I don't know if the Greeks got to see him or not. The Bible doesn't say. I would hope they did. But you know, it's one thing to see, and others say, hey, you're invited to the house. He's going to talk to you. I think you'd like to show up for that one too. Because Jesus does exactly that, not the house. He's standing before the multitude. And what we learn here is exactly how Jesus wants to be seen. It'll overcome your curiosity. You just realize he came in on a foal of an ass and a donkey, the foal of a donkey, and you're going to see that he is indeed a humble king. And he's not only going to talk about himself, he's going to talk about you, dear Christian, follower of Jesus. And he does that. I want to explore that with you this morning. Seeing Jesus, and yeah, I got a backdoor pass to hear him. Kind of like backstage to hear the people been performing out in front of everybody. He's not just performing. They're wanting to see him, but now they get a chance to hear him. So what does he say? Come with me to verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, I don't know if he's just talking to Philip and Andrew, but before us knoweth the multitude in verse 28 is therefore stood by and they hear something. But in verse 23, Jesus answered and said, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except what? Except a grain of wheat. So here's the glorified of the Father. But except a grain of wheat fall unto the earth, in verse 24, and die, it abideth by itself alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. What? It dies and bears fruit? Yeah, that's how your garden grows. That's how you can get potatoes out of the ground, carrots out of the ground, tomatoes on the vine, whatever the seed has to be planted in the earth and it has to die. And if it doesn't, it just alone. It's just a plant alone. But it bears fruit when it's dead. And you know that. We know that in our gardens. You know that's a reality of life. And that's how Jesus, I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to get you a stallion next time we come into the city. No. I came exactly the way I was supposed to. But I'm going to be glorified by my Father. In verses 28 through 30, Father, glorify thy name. He said, I'm going to be glorified. And he said, now, Father, glorify. He's speaking to his Father in heaven. There came forth a voice out of heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus had been pleasing to him all of his earthly ministry. And he's at this point, I'm going to glorify it. Through what? Death. Through death. I'm going to be exalted. What? Through death. That's how I'm going to glorify God. And you know what the multitude did? In verse 29, the multitude therefore that stood by, so he's got a crowd. They heard it and said it had thundered. It had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken unto him. And Jesus answered, said, this voice hath not come for my sake. I'm going to be glorified. I'm going to be glorified through dying, and that will indeed bring forth much fruit. But it's for your sakes. So God is being glorified. Jesus is being glorified by the Father. The voice comes out of heaven, thundering. Don't know what was articulated, but it must have been an angel or something. It's something that was special. And Jesus said, that's for your benefit. Maybe you'd like to listen to the one that's being glorified by the Father. But I just want you to notice how much this else through death this is taking place where he's glorified. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Judgment is coming upon the devil, who has power to hide your face from the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ and God, the light of the gospel. He's able to do that through his temptations. I just want to go see Jesus because I'm curious. That's the way he liked to have. Just be curiosity and don't go following what that means. Just curious. He's going to be dead pretty quickly. Jesus said, that's what I'm out here to do. That's how I'm going to be glorified. He took on flesh and blood that he might destroy the works of the devil. Through his death, we don't have to fear death because Jesus is raised. And we will be too. This prince of this world, when Jesus is alone with his disciples before he is going to be put to death that night, the time of his betrayal. Chapter 14 and verse 30, I will no more speak much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. He's coming. He's going to have his power of darkness. He's going to be one that's going to be putting Jesus to death and think, I've conquered him. No, that was step one to me being glorified. And God was glorifying him on the cross when he would not allow him to escape the cross. And he's there and he has nothing in me. Chapter 16, 11, still talking to the apostles when he speaks about coming righteousness and verse 11 of judgment because the prince of this world hath been judged. Judge, condemned, this world and the prince of this world, Satan, had no power over him. And it's being condemned. Chapter 16 and verse 33, these things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In 1 John 4 and verse 4, here's the false teachers. It could be a lot of them, the Antichrist. The ones that's against Christ, you'll overcome them because greater is he that is in you, dear Christian, than he that is in the world, following the temptations of Satan and giving into the flesh. And we're just walking along. I said, you know what? If Jesus comes down Fairmont this afternoon, I'm going to be here. Why? I just like to see what he looks like. And if you've got a backdoor pass to come hear what Jesus has to say about himself, this is how he wants you to look at him. Not ignore him. Not thinking he's going to be some great, glorious king. He is. But it's a spiritual kingdom, not the way men think it is. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus says. It's different. And we don't care. We don't care. We're walking along, living like we want to do. And I want to see Jesus on Fairmont this afternoon. I'll eat lunch. I'll be back. But I won't be back for evening services. Why? Well, I hope you get to go talk to Jesus and he talk to you. Because what he wants you to see is that this world and all of its glitter is not worth it. I'm being glorified through death. And that's not the way the world looks at it. Through death, I will draw all men to me. In John 12, 32 and 33, Jesus is now, you're able to see him. Verse 32, I'm going to read that. When he says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. By this he signified by what manner of death he should die. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men to me. When you sing that song, do you think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? No. You got a backstage pass to see Jesus and what he did. He told you, no, that's, I'm lifted up on the cross. And by me being lifted up on the cross through death, I will be glorified, and through death, I will bring all men unto me. Paul will preach Christ crucified. I will bring all men unto me. The drawing power of such love that he would die for you and die for me is unbelievable. Why would he do that? But he did. And he wants you to see that. I will draw all men unto me. Signify about what manner of death he should die. Oh, the multitude answered, we have heard of the law that the Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? We say, he's right there in front of you. You said you want to see him. And this is what he's saying about himself. That's just not the way we think about things. But he will draw all men to me through his death and through his blood. All the Gentiles could come nigh to God. You know, here we're Greeks. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 13, we find a reconciliation with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul, later on after this account with Jesus, before he was dead and died and was resurrected, here's the events of those things. And when he says in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were afar off, non-Jews, Gentiles, Greeks that want to be proselytes, maybe the Jews have something about the one God, they too. But that those who are far off might be made nigh in the blood of Christ through his death. Jew and Gentile could be saved from their sins. Oh, I wonder what Jesus will be wearing. Will he be dressed up like we are today? Or will he have his clothes of his generation? You know? Will he fly out of the airport out here? Or will he fly up into heaven? Well, he went up into heaven, not by an airplane, but by the power of God. After he'd returned to strengthen his disciples and tell them that the Spirit of God's going to come, and that day when it came, they preached of his death and resurrection. He's got a kingdom now. He has set up his kingdom as the church of our Lord, and we, through Christ crucified, yes, he was raised from the dead, but on this occasion, he wanted to see, this is how I want you to see me. And I think most of the curious world, if they would come out to see Jesus, wouldn't realize that. Wouldn't realize that. But when the situation was just like that, that's how Jesus wanted to be seen. Then he talks about you and me as followers. Look at verse 25 and 26. He that loveth his life loseth it. I thought Jesus was talking about dying and being by himself. No, he dies and brings forth fruit. And all of a sudden, he changes the subject. No, he's very focused. Now he hits those who want to go see him. He that loveth his life loseth it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So, hating this life in this world, and I go around hating my life, no, I realize this world, and I am a human body, I have a spirit made in the image of God, but I put that first before that spiritual part of me. And Jesus says, this is my true followers. They hated this life in this world because if they lose their life here, they lose it for the cause of Christ. They keep it unto eternal life. When we think of this world, we only have one life to give. We have one life to live. Oh, live it with all the gusto. Live it with all. Oh, be somebody helpful people. But never think about Jesus, of coming to him and being his follower. He's trying to get this, followers, if you're going to follow me, you got to put the spiritual first. That might mean that you will die for the cause. That might mean you'll lose friendships. It might mean a lot of things, but you will keep it unto eternal life. And I'm here to give you eternal life. No, you're going to die. Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to die. I'm going to defeat the world, defeat Satan, and realize here is the one who is victory, and you can live your life. Greater is he that is in you, because you're a spiritual being, and you're following Jesus, than he that is in the world. That's Satan. I've already defamed him. He doesn't have power over death anymore. Even though we're dying, he doesn't have the power over that, because we're going to be raised. What about these believers? They're here to serve. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there's also my servant be. If any man will serve him, him will the Father honor. If you're going to serve him, why don't you be where he is? And I don't know what Martha did at that time, where she quit serving food when she had that gathering. And here we find a little bit later, but serving me. You can serve him by being hospitable to others. But he becomes first. That where I am, you'll be in my presence to serve me. That's the point. You're doing things because God is in your presence. Jesus is in your presence. I'm doing it unto God when a slave serves his master. I'm submitting unto my husband as unto the Lord. He's present. He's always on your mind because you're a spiritual, created, new creature. You don't think like the world anymore. And the moment you could see Jesus, that's exactly what he wanted you to see. And it's about me. It's about you. Knowing that the Father will honor such a follower who is a servant of Jesus Christ. And we sometimes need to be reminded, why am I here for? I'm a Christian now. What's that all about? Is that, no, I want to be a Christian. That's the only way that I am going to live. Because eternal life is there. The honor from the Father is there. Following Jesus like he wants to be seen. I see him. That's why he wants to be seen. You can't take me away from that. Because I have him in my heart. This is what he said. If you're allowed to go back to a private gathering with him and you get to see him, this is what he would say to you today. Jesus appeals to all to walk in the light. John the 12th chapter, verse 35 through 36, he picks it up again of how we should be. And I'll just remind you what he said. Jesus therefore said unto them, he's not hiding it, he's telling them, yet a little while is the light among you. He's talking about himself. Walk while you have the light. That darkness, that darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. You may be a child of God, been a Christian for a number of years. You need to wake up. Why am I walking with Jesus? What is my purpose here? Yeah, I like to see him. I like to see how he walks by and what all that about. But no, if you've got to go back to talk to him, this is what he'd say to you. While you have the light, Jesus is going to be taken from them pretty soon through death. But he says, while you have, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. Being a son of God is a son of light. You're following the light of the gospel. It illuminates your mind. And it forms the feelings of your heart as well. But that's what Jesus appeals to. Walk. While you have that light, walk. To be sons of light and be honored by the Father. I'm impressed that when Jesus wanted to be seen, he talked about himself being glorified through death. And he talked about you and me loving Jesus more we do our life and to be able to follow after him. If there was a great crowd that comes down Fairmont Parkway this afternoon and were to see them, do you think that you will be able to talk to him today before he left town? Little old me, little old you. There'd be so many people. And yet that's exactly what we have before us. And if I were to tell you that you've just missed him, he's already gone, would you be mad at me for preaching as long as I did? I don't know how long it was. It wasn't that long. But what if that happened? Would you be mad at me? If you got word on your phone that he's coming, would you have gotten up and go out into the old and try to see him and quit listening to me this morning? Yeah, I got out the door before the elders locked it up. No, they didn't keep the door open. Is that where you want to go? Go. But here's the thing. You can see your heroes. You can see them on a stage. You can see them at a rally. You can see them. What is there? A lot of events are happening behind the scenes that you don't know about. But to be able to think that you're going to be able to talk to them and they're going to talk to you. No way that could be done. So thank you for not walking out on this sermon. Because you got to do something you probably would never get to do. Have a private talk with Jesus. In the sense of a multitude. And he's talking to you and me as individuals. More than watching on the street, remembering it the rest of your life, all those things will be there. I still remember President Kennedy. That's how old I am. Eighth grader, Kathy's with me. She's in the eighth grade too, you know. We walked over 2 miles to get to the main thoroughfare to see Mr. and Mrs. President John F. Kennedy. Jocelyn, you know, she's there with her. With her dress that they're going to be killed in. Her husband's going to be killed in. And she's there, blood will be on that. Didn't know at the time. I didn't know what was huffing under the scenes. They're going to kill him today. I just want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see God, John F. Kennedy. And I got to see him. He got on a plane, went to Dallas. The rest is history. I just wanted to see him. I didn't have a clue that I'm going to be able to talk to him. And ask him questions or him talk to me. That was no way. You just got to do that with Jesus. Now what will you do about that? You become a son of light by walking in the light of the gospel and taking that first step. I want to be made nigh to Christ through Christ's blood. I want to be made nigh to God, but I'm not a Jew. Well, he did that for Gentiles too. And he did it for Jews. He did it for all men. He said, lift me on the cross. That's what I told her. Remember me every week. Remember my death. I'll be raised. I will draw men to you. Through his death and his resurrection, we have life and we can become a new creature. What will you do about that? Because Jesus not only talked about himself as that wheat, that grain that produces fruit because it dies. He talked about you and me loving him more than I love this life. But all of it's worth it because it points us to eternal life. And that's what Jesus offers you. So as we stand and sing this song, I ask you to come forward, obey the gospel as we stand and sing at this time. Thank you.